I want to welcome you guys to Our Bop. This is Riddick's Book of Philosophy. My name's Philip Riddick, and this is where I talk about what I want to talk about the way I want to talk about it. If you enjoy this podcast, tell your friends, family, and loved ones to come in and enjoy my whimsical way of saying things, doing things, and thinking about things.
Please hold for a very important message.
Hey, everybody, sooner or later, you're going to have to travel. You're going to have to take a plane, a hotel, or rent a car or something, either because you want to go on a vacation, something that you were waiting for, or really wanted to do. Or sometimes we have some unfortunate circumstances in our families where we have to travel involuntarily. Either way or the other, if you need to travel, you want to save some money. I am an independent TSA travel savings ambassador for iBoomerang. And I can save you 30 to 70% on your travel. If you send me your first and last name to the following email address, dcboomgetaways@gmail.com. Once again, dcboom, B-U-U-M, getaways@gmail.com. I can send you an absolutely free website, yours personally, that you can use whenever you want, and it will save you money. It can save your money whenever you are going away. You might be going away now. You might be going away in the future. This website is yours forever. But once again, if you want to save money traveling 30 to 70%, shoot your first and last name to me at dcboom, B-U-U-M, getaways@gmail.com. Welcome to Our Bop. Welcome to Our Bop. My name's Phil, guys. I really appreciate you guys coming. I'm the hostess, but they say the hostess with the mostest. Anyway, guys, I have a very important guest and his wife with me. I asked Mr. Alton Matthews to join me for a very, very, I guess we're going to say interesting and maybe risque, I don't know, conversation. All right, guys. Now, those of you that don't know, this is the dog father himself. I'll let him do his own introduction. Thank you, sir. And how do you pronounce that, Jeannie or Jeanne?
Jean.
Wow, look, I'm looking at the letters. I'm like, how do you pronounce that? That's crazy. Once again, I want to thank you guys for being here. But, you know, first question, introduction. Who are you? Where are you from? What's your background on Mr. Alton Matthews? What's your background?
Hey, well, first off, you know, thank you for having us. You know, man, anytime I get to hang out with R-Bop, it's going to be a great time. So, hey, thank you again. All right. You know, man, I grew up in, you know, Fort Hood, you know, Army brat.
Nice.
Yeah, man. So Central Texas, been in Central Texas since 75. So been here for quite a while.
Okay.
Moved to Austin after high school and started my career in the semiconductor industry, working for a small little company. I don't know if y'all have heard of it, but it's called Motorola. Worked for them.
He says Motorola. All right, enough of that.
So yeah, but absolutely worked for them. You know, for like 17 years or whatever, and. Left there. Right before I left there, I started up the Dogfather's Barbecue LLC and did some catering and that type of thing. And then realized I needed to get back into the corporate world to get those benefits. So, currently I work for a company called the Lower Colorado River Authority, maintaining the portfolio of power plants, dams, wind farms, that type of thing. So that's what I do for the real job.
The real job. You're talking what do you call it? Clean energy type of thing or just power, period?
This part is.
Well, yeah, we have part clean energy.
Okay, I got
you. We do have some coal plants, so we do, you know, still, you know, burn that dirty, but, you know.
I knew you were going to say that.
Hey, we got to keep the lights on, right?
Yes, sir.
That's what we do. But
Got you. So family wise, obviously you have your wife, you got kids, pets, anything else? Anybody else? Any other Klingons?
Good. Oh, you're doing great.
So yeah, we have five kids. So
five. Nice.
Yeah, we have five kids. We have y'all pray for me. We got four daughters.
Oh, I got four daughters, man.
Yeah, man. So we got four daughters, all in high school. Mm-hmm. We just our oldest son just graduated, so he'll be heading off to college this fall.
Congratulations!
Along with that, we got a couple of dogs, couple of cats, bird, fish, hamster. You know, it's yeah, we got some of everything going on.
Matthew's Zoo going on over there.
Yeah, it really is. So we really should charge admission for the little kids and let them come through and, you know, pet all the animals and. We got a house full over here, man.
Nice. So you talked about, next question is, what do you do for a living? So you already talked about that. We'll skip that and move right on into social media. You talked about Dogfather Barbecue.
Yes, sir.
This is advertisement time for you, baby. You got YouTube, Facebook, podcast, Instagram. Let it fly, man. Let it fly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Dogfather's Barbecue. And that's DAWGFATHA'BBQ. Hmm. The Dogfather's Barbecue. So, again, since I started that LLC, Gene and my man Federico, who is the official photographer for the Dogfather's Barbecue YouTube channel. Basically, they talked me into starting it up. So that's what we did. We started up YouTube. We've been at YouTube now since, December of 2018. Nice. Having a great time with it, you know, getting to meet people such as yourself, along with a lot of other, I call the OGs of, barbecue cooking on YouTube. We got the YouTube channel going. We have the Instagram channel by the same name. We've got the Facebook page by the same name. And, got Twitter as well. And so I don't really participate as much on Twitter as most other people do, but Instagram I'm highly active on. In fact, you're going to see probably a lot more stuff on Instagram than you'll see on YouTube, but absolutely jump on YouTube and subscribe if you haven't. I think we do some pretty decent
material. You guys do great. We absolutely try. Those of you that are watching and listening, all of his social media, once I get done with this and get some editing done, all of his social media will be in the show notes for the actual podcast and for the video podcast and anywhere else. And it might not make it to my Facebook. I'll put it on the Facebook too. Anyway, guys, you'll be able to find Dogfather Barbecue. He does great videos. Me being a YouTube connoisseur, he does great videos. I enjoy his channel very much.
Thank you, sir.
Now, we're going to get into the subject. We're getting into the nitty and the gritty. Here we go. I'll do a couple of shout outs real quick. We got Frack Daddy. How you doing, Jared? He's in here. We got Mona in here. Anna Galt, welcome. Matter of fact, Anna Galt says mouthwatering barbecue videos for you, Alton. And Johnny Bags, LOL Dutch. I guess they're talking in the chat. Nice. Here we go, guys. The subject of this podcast, the reason I asked Alton and Gene to come, is I'm curious to how Black Lives Matter in an interracial marriage. There's been a lot of stuff going on in the United States, around the world, as a matter of fact. From the time George Floyd, I guess that was the straw that broke the camel's back, because truth be told, it's been shit like this going on for a very, very long time. The same story over and over and over.
Absolutely.
Now, my opinion is, because people were stuck at home because of the whole virus thing, more people, it was harder to ignore. I'll put it that way. I think it was harder to ignore, to see that happen. And then we had riots versus protests. We'll get to that later. But now there's this big movement about equality. All right. Black people, they say people of color, but come on, man, Black people, wanting to be equal, always have been since they were abducted, stolen, or sold to come here. And the police brutality thing. So all of that blew up. I know you guys are, everybody here is an audience to this. You can't help it if you live in America. Hell, if you're on a planet at this point. So what's your take, man? Not overall, I know it's a smack in the face. You know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to stick with the next question. This is going to be the subject, folks, but I want to ask this question first. What major culture shock between you and Gene, all right, Black man, white woman, got married. What culture shock thing did you guys have to overcome? You know, what I said, I'll put it this way. As a white woman, would you think, I don't know black people did that? Or all you're like, I don't know white people. You know, what culture shock thing is the biggest thing that smacked you in the face being in an interracial marriage?
You want to start or you want me to start?
You can start. I'm curious where you're going to go with this first.
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I think we're kind of a little bit of a unique situation because of the fact that we're both Army brats.
Oh, man, that's real.
Yeah, I mean, we both grew up, you know, or I'm not going to say, well, I grew up, you know, on Fort Hood. Mm-hmm. She spent quite a bit of time on different military bases, right. But was on Fort Hood. Mm-hmm. And so it's, and as you know, Philip, it's a different world on a military base mm-hmm. than it is if you go to some other city.
Right.
You know, and right. So we were all, you know, when I was in high school and, you know, played football or, you know, was in band or whatever it was that I was doing, all of it, dude, we were all equal. It didn't matter who you were or where you were from or what color you were. I mean, so now to, you know, graduate high school, move away from Fort Hood, come down to Austin. It was more of a shock once I got into paying attention to the political scene to see, you know, and Facebook, you know, affords you that avenue that you can stay reconnected or get reconnected with people you went to school with and, you know, all that. And so you start to see some of the differing views.
See views, man.
You never thought you would see because of where you grew up. You just, well, everybody thinks this way, you know? Mm-hmm. And so between us, at least for me, I don't think there was much of a culture shock.
Okay. You know what
I'm saying? But I think for me, it was more of towards people that I knew that I grew up with that I got to see, say, the most outlandish things, you know?
I understand completely. Jean, do you want to chime in?
See, I'm culture shock. I don't know that it's culture shock. I know that there's differences like in foods. Yeah. So one of the big conversations we have is pumpkin pie versus sweet potato pie. Jean's like, it's got to be sweet potato pie. It's got to be. And I'm like, they taste the same. They have the same seed. They taste the same to me.
I'm going to chime in here. This is a culture shock. Pumpkin spice in general, that's a straight white people thing. I'm sorry. Pumpkin spice.
You know, and that's what I hear all the time. That's your people.
Yeah.
That's what he says all the time. That's your people. Ain't no black man gonna da 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 da. We're scared. We're not right. We're not gonna go investigating anything.
Mm-mm. Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah. So that's the kind of thing. You know?
I'll tell you this, on the whole military the non-racial thing. I mean, obviously it's race and everything, but I'll tell a quick story about myself. My father did 21 years in the Air Force. So I went to, you know, my kindergarten, first, second, third grade in Okinawa, Japan, Kadena Air Force Base. Okay. And then from there, we ended up in Wurtsmith Air Force Base in Michigan, which is closed now. And then he retired and we settled down in Chicago. So now I'm a little short, you know, I'm a little sexy instead of a big sexy. I'm a little sexy at the time. And I go to school on the south side of Chicago, which I claim is home because I've been there since fifth grade and until adult life. But there were no white people in school. So I'm sitting in a school, brand new, first time out of a military school south side of Chicago. And I'm like, I've never seen so many black people in my life. You know, I was still saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. But military kid, you know. Mm-hmm. And I know this is kind of off the subject, folks, but we'll get back to it. You know, it got to the point where, you know, even in that, this even has to do with race. Me not knowing anything, I dumbed myself down because of the education I got in military school as opposed to getting to the south side of Chicago. I'm reading way ahead. Kids can't read. I'm like, are these people stupid? Isn't that terrible? A black kid out of the environment gets to the south side of Chicago. I'm in fifth grade reading on an eighth grade level. And you got kids in fifth grade that can't freaking read at all. I'm like, where did my parents put me? What the, you know? But that's the, you know, disparity of, you know, being disenfranchised, not having the funds, not equally being educated in other neighborhoods, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, let's move on. You guys spoiled the question because you're both prior, you're military, Brad. You just killed that question. All right. Now, here's a good one. Alton, being a black man, have you ever received or had to give the talk? For those of you that are not familiar, the talk is the conversation you have to, unfortunately in America, is a conversation that you have to give to men, women, children of color if you're in specific areas of the nation. Not everywhere, okay? Because America's the greatest country on the planet. I live and die and fight for this place. But there are some places, specifically south side of Chicago, you got to talk. You know, hey, if the police pull up behind you, listen, make sure your hands are seen. Try to stay calm. You know, put all your documentation up top. You know, there's certain things that black folks don't do when the police, when the popo show. You know, there's certain things, you know. I've been thumped up on my way to school. I'm talking about grammar school. Thumped up on my way to grammar school because I fit the description. Someone dressed like you, we're looking for. Well, what was the description? A black guy wearing blue jeans and a white t-shirt. Come on, man. Come on, man. I was in a lineup. Got picked up. My parents didn't know until I got home late from school. I'm in a lineup. And I never seen so many freaking light-skinned black kids in blue jeans, white t-shirts with glasses that looked like me. I was nervous. What if they picked the wrong guy?
Absolutely.
But back to the question. Have you ever had to give that, have you ever received or had to give the talk?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, one thing I can say is, you know, back when I was growing up, again, I was on a military base. And so it wasn't as big of a problem, you know, growing up on a military base, you know. And yeah, my pops actually did, you know, talk to me, you know, about the way that you conduct yourself. And it was more so of him instilling that proper home training regardless. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're dealing with authorities or, you know, your teachers or whoever it is, you show respect regardless. As far as giving the talk, yeah, I actually, you know, have we haven't, because we haven't gotten driver license and things of that nature yet. Right. We're working towards it. Our kids are starting to get to that age. But I've had to have that talk with them in the way that they conduct themselves in school. You know, that it's, you know, understand that it's not fair when I tell you, you may not deem it as fair, but it's the way it is. You know, our kids, I think that their eyes are wide open with a lot of different things now, because I think we've done a pretty decent job as parents to basically kind of shield them from a lot of the realities in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, and so whenever they start to see some of the things that are happening now, because now I think we're at that age where we can, you know, show some of the stuff that's going on the news and have conversation and proper dialogue and explain it. I think their minds are kind of blown away, okay. You know, and they sometimes we've had a couple of the kids that, oh, they want to go out and they want to march and they want to protest. They want to, you know, do all of this other stuff. And I'm like, wait, pump the brakes. All right, let's talk about it, you know. Yeah. And so, yeah, like I said, starting off with, you know, my daughters in particular, I had to explain to her, you know, when you act a certain way at school and you have an altercation with this student or, you know, that student or whatever it might be, and you, you know, get your little, you know, your little squad behind you, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And you go and confront, you're giving your these other people that can look at you as you fit that profile of the loud, you know, black girl, you know, yeah. Shaniqua Jenkins with the hair tied up and ready to fight. You know, you can't do that. Right. You know, you got to use your brain. You got to use your words. You got to use your brain. You got to be able to talk. If you haven't, you know, if something's going on with this student or that student, you know what? Have conversation and have dialogue. Don't come angry. You come with conversation. When right. you have that conversation, you might find out there is nothing for you to be angry about.
Yeah.
You know, have that conversation and conduct yourself as such so that you don't fit that profile, because you're already, you got strikes against you because you're female. You got right. strikes against you because you're African American. Mm-hmm. You know, you're black. So people are going to look at you in a different light regardless. And then I back that up with, you know, some of the things that I've been through. You know, I've even here in the suburbs of Austin, you know, I've had times where I go to the grocery store and get out of my car. Get out of my truck, and I'm walking in, and I can look up, and I, you know, the one that I'm thinking of in particular, I had a older white lady, you know, she's down in her phone or whatever, and she looks up walking towards me with her cart, and she looks up and sees me and literally goes across the drive, yep. you know, and then down and literally goes to the car that was right next to my truck.
Wow. You know, like,
okay, I don't know you. I don't know what's going on with you. I didn't have a conversation with you. It might be something completely, totally off base, but it sure does look suspect. You know what I mean?
It does. It's
so, I've had that. I've had times where, you know, I've gotten pulled over by the cops and the boy this and boy that. And
yes.
How did you afford this car? This, you know, how much is this car? And what do you do for a living? You know, and that type of thing. Yeah. You know, and it's like, it's ridiculous, you know, but I also explain to them that, look, I don't care what that situation is. Your main focus is to get through that situation to get home, because I don't care how wrong a police officer can be in that moment. You ain't going to win it on the streets.
You're not. You're
it's not going to happen, you know, and you know, and I don't mean to go too far. When you talk about the situation of like what just happened in Atlanta, you know, it was a very unfortunate situation. I think that, you know, I think both parties had, you know, a lot to do with it, you know,
yes.
It getting escalated to the point it did. But I think, you know, hey, us as a people, I understand that we're angry and we're ready to voice our opinions, but not every single thing that we do is correct.
This is correct. I'm glad you brought up that. I'm sorry. I can't remember his name. Anyway, he was wrong.
Yeah.
And the police was wrong.
Right.
Absolutely. He was, I'm about to cuss. Excuse my language. Sorry, Gene. But he was freaking wrong, man. First of all, let's break this one down. This, we're going off the rails now. The dude was drunk.
Way
in
drunk.
A Wendy's parking lot.
Yeah.
So you're wrong right there. Okay. Police came up from what I saw. Knock, knock, knock. Hey, man, what's going on? So far, everything's great. Hey, man, what's going on? Hey, you need to pull over here. Now, he was wrong because he should have checked to see if he was hurt, injured, or drunk. Right. But he said, just pull over here. So he let him pull over there. Cool. Then you bring over freaking the second guy comes over because I guess he needed assistance to do the field sobriety thing. They were both being polite. They were being cordial, blah, blah, blah. Now we know the guy had a history and he was on probation or had warrants or some shit. Didn't know that at the time. And everything was good to go until the handcuffs come. And a lot of people, you know, police officers, my father was an SP in the Air Force. Once the handcuffs come up, you expect some type of resistance. One, they hurt. Two, you scare people. But this dude had warrants. I mean, was on probation. So I understand why he fought, but he shouldn't have fought.
Shouldn't have fought.
So now he is resisting arrest. Now he's fighting. Now he grabs a taser. And depending on how people look at it, no, it's not a lethal weapon, but it's a weapon. Okay. So now he's running away. He turns around. I think he turned around and flailed. I don't think he didn't aim the shit from what I saw. But even all of that, him being wrong, him being drunk, him having freaking probation, him should not have ended up dead, man, shot in the back.
No, sir.
That's my thing. He was totally and completely fucking wrong. But
absolutely.
You should not be shot in the back. Dude, they had his car right there.
Absolutely.
You got registration, you got license plate. You had him. Mm-hmm. If he ran forever, you had him. Why you gotta shoot a man in the back?
Yep.
That's my thing.
And then the thing is, what if it were you and I? You know, what if we would have shot somebody and shot him in the back?
Oh man, come on.
You know, and that's the thing that, and I understand, dude. Trust me, I understand police officers have a very tough and violent job at times.
Yes.
And their main goal is just like ours. They want to get home to their family just like we do. I mean, every single day. And I understand that.
Right.
You know, but I think that you still have a certain way that you treat people.
Well, I understand that a police officer is automatically going to assume the worst about someone they're pulling over.
Right.
Okay. You have to, for their safety. I got that.
Yep.
But what they seem to forget is we, meaning a black man, based on the way it is in America, we automatically assume the worst of them, too.
Yeah.
So as soon as the lights come on, it's escalated. They're nervous. I'm nervous. You know, taking special precautions, making sure my driver's license, registration, proof of insurance is on the freaking dash. My hands are right freaking here. Don't ask me for will you roll down the window? Will you hand me your driver's license? It's right there, man. You get it yourself. I ain't moving at all.
Yep.
You know, if I accidentally forget the proof of insurance in the dashboard, I'm going to let that window down. You can go get it yourself, man. I ain't moving. Well, sir, you have no reason to be. Dude, you got a gun and I got nothing. Or I might be carrying. You got a gun and mine's in the freaking glove compartment. I ain't reaching for shit.
Yes, sir.
I ain't reaching for nothing. Castile reached after he told the guy, I'm a licensed. I got a freaking concealed carry. I got my gun.
He did everything right.
He did everything right and got killed in front of his freaking kid and his freaking, I don't know if it's girlfriend or fiance or wife, but come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You got me doing my, come on, man.
No, it's just one of those situations where I think that you just have a lot of people on both sides of the fence that believe differently. You know what I mean? And that's fine. You want to believe whatever you want to believe. I'm going to believe whatever I want to believe. But the thing is, it happens.
Yes.
It's reality is what it is. You know, people talk about anxieties when the police pull up, you know, behind them. And we all, whether we're, you know, white, black, whatever, we all have anxieties, but they're different anxieties. You have an anxiety because, oh, man, how much is this ticket going to cost me? Whereas we have anxiety like, man, am I about to go to jail or get shot? You know what I mean?
But what gets me is, and the disparity here is, I've seen white folks arguing back. You pulled me over. Why did the gall? How did you pull me? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, I'd have been shot 20 minutes ago. Yeah. Come on, man. Yeah. Come on. Getting out of the car. I can't believe you pulled me up. Dude, as soon as you step foot out, you got the right to remain stupid. I'd have been shot 10 minutes ago. I mean, not in all cases. I'm kind of being over the top on this. But guys, hey, we're going to pause real quick fast for some. I have a little ad I need to run, and then I'm going to go back into the next question, guys. So bear with me. Guys, thank you for hanging out this long with RBOP, and we'll be right back right after this. I would like to talk to you about Instacart. What if I told you that you could have local fresh groceries delivered to your front door? You can have multiple deliveries for one small monthly fee. Unlike some other apps or services that want to nickel and dime you all the time. If you don't have that special item that you need to make a special recipe, Instacart in some cases can get that to your house in as fast as 1 hour. Hand-selected by shoppers based on your preferences, Instacart highlights deals that can help save you money. You can find everything you normally buy, and they also suggest things that may be new to you. They pick the freshest produce and also keep your eggs safe too. Follow the link in the show notes that lets Instacart know that I sent you. That will not only help the show, but it will also, in this case, give you free delivery on your first order over $35. Instacart. Never go out to go grocery shopping again. All right, guys, we are back. We are back. And we're going to get into this next question, guys. And here we go. As a couple, how do you guys cope with all of this, you know, this whole racial thing in America today? How do you guys cope with it?
I don't know if we cope. I don't know if that's the word. Basically, we just kind of wade through it, if that makes sense.
It does.
We'll see stuff and we'll kind of tell each other about it. And just kind of see, okay, where are you on thinking about this? Where am I on thinking about this? Are we on the same page? Do we think differently? And then we just kind of have conversations just to kind of understand where each other thinks on that. And for the most part, I think we're on the same page with the majority of things. But, you know, I'm sure there's some that I can't think of right now. But it really is just about, did you see this? Did you see this? And just kind of talking about it. And then, you know, kids will come in and, hey, did y'all see this? And it's like, wait, okay, hold on. Wait, show me this now. So we're just kind of, it's ever evolving because you've got, you know, 6-7 opinions going on and everybody's seeing different things. And wait, what's your source? Where is this from? Is this valid? Who, you know, so it's a lot of digging, I guess, you know, as we're kind of, you know, just kind of wading through it all and just what's next. You know,
I think you kind of hit it on the head. I mean, again, because of the fact that we grew up on a military base, we, you know, between us, we kind of view the world pretty similarly. Okay. You know, and so we don't, I don't think we've ever really been at true odds about any of the social stuff that's been going on. And, but that's have conversation. Yeah, we do have we absolutely have conversation, you know, yes. And I think that's vital, you know, for any couple. You know, I don't care if you're on the same side of the fence or opposite sides of the fence. Everybody wants to be heard, you know.
Yes.
And so just have that dialogue and listen. And I think we do a good job of doing that and trying to instill that in our kids. You know,
I agree.
We want to be heard, but in order for you to be heard, you got to learn how to listen as well.
That's very true. You know? Being a man that's been, I'm coming up on 34 years of marriage, so I'm still on my training wife. I haven't gotten rid of it. But yeah, for any relationship, man, requires communication. But I think a lot of people lose the communication piece. You know, it takes a transmission and a reception for communication. Someone's transmitting, someone's receiving. And then the other person transmits and the other one receives. And a lot of people in a conversation just listen enough to want to argue. You know what I'm saying? They just want to hear enough to be able to try to prove a point. Gotcha.
Yep.
Instead of listening to a point of view, even if it's different from yours, understand it, digest it. You don't have to accept it, but at least understand how that person thinks. Absolutely. As opposed to trying to inject what you think into that person. Come on, man.
Well, most of society, I think, and I can speak of, when I'm at work having conversations or even online, because, all those, those keyboard warriors and thumb thugs, they have so much to say, but it's like they don't listen and they're too busy trying to teach you and tell you how you're wrong.
Exactly.
You know, your opinion doesn't matter. You're wrong about whatever you think or whatever you feel. And this is the way it should be. And I think not only is it with society, but I think it starts with our leaders in the politics, you know, on both sides. They don't want to talk about stuff. They're too busy trying to tell everybody else how you're wrong and you should do what I tell you to do.
Yeah. Now, speaking of leaders, and I've said this before, we have very few. All right. People start talking about, the leaders in Congress. There are no leaders in fucking Congress, guys. Those are representatives. There's not a fucking leader in Congress. All right. Lobbyists and all that nonsense. We have the president of the United States. He's a leader. He's elected to do that. No matter who he is, the POTUS is the leader of the United States. The governors are the leaders of the states. The mayors are the leaders of the cities. You with me? Everybody else is just a fucking representative.
Yep.
And if you're going to represent me, I think this is part of the problem of the whole racial thing. The people in Congress, their brains are too freaking old. I was so happy. There's this young man in North Carolina, a Republican who beat Trump's pick. Young man. He doesn't, all of his views don't equal mine, but what I like about him, yes, I said that as a Republican. I like the young man because he's young. They even talked about him going up because Cortez was the youngest. Remember, female. She was the youngest senator or congresswoman. Now he's going to be the youngest senator. But he said, we can talk. Of course, you got young brains, man. You with me? This dude can use a freaking Mac. This man can use a freaking smartphone. This man can probably freaking Google anything. And then you put him up against Mitch McConnell, who probably thinks the abacus still works. You know, you with me? You know, I think the people in Congress, their brains are too old. So when you talk about systematic racism, and I hate it on the right, no, there's no systematic racism. No, you just got a few bad apples. Come on, man. Come on, them apples is freaking, they're petrified by now. It's a few bad fucking apples. Come on, man.
Yep.
You with me?
Yep.
But anyway, we're gonna move on to next question. The riots.
Oh man.
What's your take on people going ham? All right, for those of the non-layman, ham, hard as a motherfucker. They're tearing up stuff, burning stuff down, breaking windows, stealing stuff, which is totally criminal activity. But what's your take on the riots?
Man, you know, the riots are crazy. It's one of those things where I understand your outrage. I understand the frustration. You know, yes. I understand that need to finally be heard. but I can't agree with the destruction. I can't agree with the criminal activity to get across your point. You know what I mean?
So I do.
Yeah. And that's, you know, pretty much where I am. And it's like, the reason why I say I understand it is because you can keep saying this stuff is going on, police brutality and you know, systematic racism. You can say this stuff is going on forever and a day and nobody listens, nobody listens, nobody listens. And I mean, you know, for me, and I'm going to stick to my era, I can remember back when, you know, in the 80s, when NWA came out and they made their music and, you know, F the police and blah, 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 and this and that and the other. And people, oh, my God, we can't. Oh, no, we got to stamp this rap music. We got to get it. They didn't want to hear it. And it wasn't that it was being made up to just glorify, you know, resistance against authority or anything like that. It was, dude, this is what is happening
yes. In
our society. This is what you might not have it happen in Beverly Hills, but I tell you what, cross the highway in the Compton, and this is what's happening.
Exactly.
You know, nobody wants to hear it. No, you know, fast forward to, you know, I'm a young adult now, and I remember having conversations with people about racism and things of that nature. Oh, race, that doesn't happen anymore. That happened back in the 50s and 60s. And, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, he made sure that nobody would have to go through it. So that doesn't happen. No, wait a minute. It does still happen. You just don't witness it. You don't get to see it, you know? Yeah. Well, now we're in the day and age where everybody has a camera.
Yeah.
And so right. Now you can record stuff. You can put it out there on social media. And now because you never saw it, George Floyd, you know, rest in peace to him and condolences to his family and everybody. But that wasn't the beginning that should have started all this.
I know.
You know, and now that you got to see somebody literally get murdered in cold blood by a police officer while his, you know, goon squad sat by and condoned his activity.
Held him down.
Exactly. You're outraged. Time out. We've been telling you this has been happening for all of this time.
It's not a surprise. You know? You're right. You're right. It's not a surprise. But let me chime in on a couple of things that you said. The first thing, NWA, they came out with F the Police. See, I even didn't cuss that time. Thank you so much. They came out, but then they tried to stop it and made it more popular. Everybody had to have white, black, Puerto Rican, everybody. Why is the government against this album? They made it. They're the ones who put them on the map.
Yep.
What's happening right now? Bolton's book. The Trump administration tried to stop it. Now everybody's like, why?
Yep.
They pushed that book over the top. Republicans want to know what did Trump not want him to see. So they're buying the book. Democrats are like, what dirty shit is he going to say? They're buying the book. Everybody's going to buy that freaking book now.
Yep.
Just because the government tried to stop it. They're making it bigger than it would have been if they would have just shut up and let them sell the book.
Let it go.
Second thing, Martin Luther King. Everybody keeps talking. Well, you know, Martin Luther King, he marched peacefully and they were in their suits and everybody shows those pictures, but they don't show the pictures after the popo showed up. They got their asses whooped, man.
With a quickness. You know,
with a quickness. So everybody, and I get the ass because people are like, well, what about Martin Luther King? Listen, man, he went to jail, he was stabbed, he was beat down. Look, after all, everything said and done, he ended up getting killed.
Yep.
And then go to the extreme of Malcolm X. He was like, by any means necessary, we're going to go back at him. And ended up in the same place Martin did.
Yep.
Come on, man. You can't have that uppity black guy, peaceful or not, in this country. And that's why they're marching right now. Speaking of that, this is the segue transition. What do you think about the peaceful protests?
Wait, hold on. Let's jump back to the riots for a second.
Okay? Yes, ma'am.
So 26 years in public school education, all right? Mm-hmm. All 26 years I've been at Title I schools. Title I schools, socioeconomic schools, mm-hmm. Okay? So I'm spinning the riots a little differently.
Okay. Right?
Because of the fact that for me, for what I've seen, and I've worked middle school through high school, I have worked with kids who have come up to me and told me, Miss, you have any problems? I got you. And good. No. Dad's full-blown gang members. They got me. Okay.
Oh, so, got you good or got you bad?
They got me good. They're protecting me, if anything. Yeah, nice. I got you.
Right.
And for years, okay, to the point of where this guy coming into my high school, 6 foot something, he's nervous to walk the halls. Okay. Right. I've been in some urban schools. And so for me,
hood schools. Let's get it right now.
I've been in some urban schools. Okay. For me, you know, you're talking about NWA, you're talking about, I don't think that was riot. I think that was a protest CD. Okay. So for me, that's separate. I don't think that gets connected to riot at all. To me, what's sad, because we've got protesters, we've got rioters. Mm-hmm. Those rioters, you know, I know I could ask any of my kids, why'd you do it? Miss, that's the only way I was going to get shoes like that.
Yeah.
Miss, there's no college for me because I've got 3, 4, 5 siblings at home that I've got to take care of.
Yeah.
And to me, I mean, I know 80% of the rioters that were arrested from another city, busted, came in, whatever. Me, it's so double-edged because some of those kids, some of them, they're just out to do dirty. We know that. We know
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yep.
But so many of the others, it's like that's their only way they're going to get this.
It's hard to resist temptation.
It's hard to resist temptation, and it's hard to be pushed down, and told this is all you're going to get. So it becomes, it's an opportunity. Opportunity? Right. No. But it's like, it's hard.
You know, and that point, because I don't know if you saw this, but there was a video that was, I think it went viral actually. There was a young lady that was very passionate about what she was talking about when we're talking about the rioters. And her point on it was, you know, when you talk about the rioters, why are people asking the right questions? People look at people that are rioting and they're like, you know, oh, you know, look at them and they're acting this way and blah, blah, blah. But nobody's asking the question as to why. Why are they acting this way? Why do they feel they need to go smash this window and get those shoes and get that cell phone or whatever it might be? Mm-hmm. And like you said, you have these people that feel like that's the only way they're going to get it. Mm-hmm. And what they're talking about and what they're speaking to is like the gap, you know, the socioeconomic gap between the disenfranchised, you know, and the privileged.
Did you see this young lady? I can't remember her name. I didn't take notes on this. She gave a speech and it was just off the cuff talking about the Monopoly. You know, you get 400 rounds.
Yes, we did.
You get 400 rounds, and those 400 rounds, you don't get to keep anything. And then for the next,
that was the same one.
Yeah.
That same was young same lady. One. She was so passionate. And she's like, who cares if we burn this motherfucker down? We don't own anything. She was so passionate, folks. Mm-hmm. I can't remember her name. Google it. You might learn something.
That was a very good one.
Right. It was a great one. Listen, what's his name? John Oliver from this show next week, British guy.
Yeah.
He ended his show with that speech.
Yep.
And Trevor Noah.
Yep.
He ended his show with that speech. That young lady was passionate and she laid it out clear as day. Yes, and I'm glad, Gene, I'm so glad you kept us on riots, because I want to bring this point out. I would have missed it if you didn't ask us to stay on riots. News coverage 24/7 when shit was on fire.
Yeah.
There are still peaceful protests going on now.
Absolutely.
Less riots. Look at the news. What are you seeing? You ain't hearing no cut. There's not a lot of coverage on the protests anymore. No. Shitload of coverage on riots. So when people ask me, hey, Phil, what's your view on the riots? I think it's criminal activity. But if you want someone to pay attention to you, break some of their shit. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying. It's not right. But neither is 400 years of persecution. But if you want someone to pay attention to you, you can either break some of their shit and they're going to talk about it, or take their money. Because now you got this whole thing about freaking, hey, black people, we're going to start freaking spending money in black only, black owned businesses, blah, blah, blah. You start fucking with people economically. I'm trying not to cuss, Gene. I'm so sorry. Listen, but you start messing with people's money, they'll pay attention to you. You start breaking their shit, people pay attention to you. So riots are wrong, people. I'm saying that loud. Everyone listening and watching, riots are terrible. It's criminal activity. But if you want to pay some, you want someone to pay attention to you, start busting up some shit. That's all I'm gonna say about that.
We're and that's gonna move on. What a lot of people were saying, you know, that now that this is happening, now that this police station is burning and Target is burning and so forth and so on, yeah. Do we have your attention now?
Yeah.
You know, you are you ready to listen? Are you ready to talk now? Because exactly. You know what? Whenever you want us to do peaceful, you know, protests, but honestly, you know, and I might catch some flack for this, but I don't think that, you know, people come out and quick to say, you know, say Colin Kaepernick or whatever, and all these, you know, NBA players and football players and whatever, they want you to peacefully protest. No, they just want you to shut up.
They want you, I was going to say it. They want you to shut the fuck up. Be quiet.
They don't want you to protest. They just want you to shut up, go somewhere, go, as Laura Ingraham would say, just shut up and dribble. You know,
yeah.
No, these are people too. You know, when Colin Kaepernick has his thing that he wants to say about, you know, whatever, oh, he's just a football player, he should shut up, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Drew Brees says when he has, well, you know what, he's a human being, he has an opinion.
Yeah.
Like, dude, come on, this is a glaring example of what we're talking about.
But riddle me this, Batman, riddle me this. If you peacefully take a knee, you're wrong.
Yep.
If you bust shit up, you're wrong. Yep. Well, what the fuck do you want me to do? You know what I'm saying? What do you want me to do? I'm sorry, Gene, I did it again.
It's fine.
Absolutely.
Okay, we've been on for 48 minutes. This is great. I love this conversation.
Come on.
Man, we're doing good. All right. Question, last one, and then we're just going to go off the cuff from there. If you were king for a day, Alton. Or Gene, queen for a day, Gene. If you were king or queen for a day, what would you do or could you do to close the racial divide in the United States of America?
I'm a king. I'm a tax. Everybody give me your money.
Give
you
some
tea. Yeah, I got some barbecue pits I want to buy. No, I'm fine. Go ahead.
To close the racial divide, honestly, I would make people ask, why do you think that? Just stop. Why do you think that? Because there's so many people that are like hell bent on don't take down my statues. Don't change the name of the syrup. Don't change the name of the rice. Don't change, you know, don't do all these microaggressions that are really, they're really big deals to some people. And if you can just take a breath and just, instead of getting all up in your feelings, ask, why is this important to you?
Yep.
I like that.
Conversation, you know, because again, like you said, why is this important to you? Okay, it's important to me because, dude, this was people that were being enslaved by your people, and that's not important to you, but you feel it important enough to go to your, you know, state legislature and filibuster to save the Barton Creek salamanders from extinction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I know that's just a local thing here in the Austin area, but I'm just saying that's the type of thing that we're talking about here, is that I think that, you know, as a society, we are so screwed up with morals and this and that and the other, and wanting to tell everybody else what to do, that we don't have empathy anymore. Yeah. We don't understand or even take
the time
to understand what your plight is. Okay, how can I help you? You know, how can I help you through whatever is bothering you, instead of, oh, that's stupid, shut up, go sit down somewhere and just be glad that you're able to, you know, live and breathe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I'll tell you this. I would, I would do it. The way I would try to, because there's no way I can fix the racial divide, but if I was king for a day, if you hurt something, you lose something. I don't care how big or small it is. All right? You make somebody freaking stub their toe, then I get to stomp on yours. You take a freaking life, you're going to lose yours. You steal something, there's going to be punishment. If you're a cop and you whoop somebody's ass, you're going to get your ass whooped. Maybe not physically, but you're going to lose that job. Everyone's going to know you lost that job, and you can't just go somewhere else and get another one. You see what I'm saying? Because you get cops that do some crazy shit in this county, Cook County, and then they get fired, and then they go to Hope County and get picked up because it's not being tracked. And there's legislature, they're trying to fix that stuff, you know.
Absolutely.
Shit and that should follow you. Yeah, shit should follow you. And, you know, if I knew the perfect answer on how to close the racial divide, I'd be a rich mofo.
I would. It's just so intertwined in the fabric of this country. Yes. I don't know if it's something that will ever, you know, when you look at it, like, again, I tell you what, for people out there that may be watching, maybe listening or whatever, that are in the majority, and you think that it's silly that people are arguing about the Confederate flag, or they're silly because they're talking about taking down statues or whatever it might be.
Yes.
All I can say is look at it through this lens. What if all of these roles were flipped? What if your people were brought here and, you know, our people owned you?
Mm-hmm.
And then we put up statues of all of the slave owners that were black slave owners that owned white people. And you had to walk by it every day. And you had to walk into a school that was named after this person every single day. Or you had to see the flag that represented, you know, in their eyes, it represented, you know, what that was about every single day. It's one of those things that it just gets... it's just subliminally. It's not even really subliminal. I mean, you just keep getting smacked in the face with it. And then you have Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben and all of these other things that in your eyes right now is so, I don't understand it. It's really silly. But then you go back and you look at the old, you know, movies and how they portrayed black people. And you look at, like, what was her name? Hattie. The Gone with the Wind, and you look at, okay, he won. What was this back in 1940s? I don't remember exactly the year, but she won an Academy Award, I think it was, for her role in that. But think about this for a second. She won an Academy Award for this role, and they wouldn't even let her into the theater.
Yeah, exactly.
They literally brought her in right when the category was being announced and the award was being announced. They then brought her in and then gave her the speech that she needed to deliver. You can't say what you want to say. You're going to say what we tell you to say. And then as soon as you finish, get out.
Let's talk about Academy Award real quick. Look, I got no more questions. We're off the rails now. The Academy Award. The Black Academy Award winners. Who are they? Sidney Poitier. All right. That's the one I acknowledge. Mm-hmm. But who else got one? Denzel.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Hold on. Whoopi Goldberg got one, and she was a freaking shyster. She was conning people.
That's
the character she played. Denzel Washington got one, and he was a dirty cop. That's the character he played. Halle Berry. I think she played
Monster Ball.
She ended up being a hoe. That's the character.
They saw her boobs.
Shot her boobs. That's right.
I mean, it was very though. I mean, you know, I'm just.
I did rewind. Anyway, and what's her name? Oh, what is her name? She played in
Lupita. I believe
Lupita. She played a slave.
Yep.
And one more, I can't think of her name. Heavyset chick. She played Madam C.J. Walker in that last show. She got it for The Help. She got the Academy Award.
Yeah.
Best Supporting Actress. I can't think of her name.
Somebody type her name quick.
She was in Olivia. I mean, Ola.
Viola.
Not Viola Davis.
Octavia Spencer?
Yeah, Octavia Spencer. Thank you so much. Yeah. Put your hands together for Octavia Spencer. Anyway, and she played a freaking, was she a maid?
Yeah.
Those are every time they got an Academy Award, it was a stereotype, except for Mr. Sidney Poitier.
Yeah.
Come on, man. In order for you to get an Academy Award, you got to play a downplay person. Come on, man. Come on. And that's the system. Back to the whole, there's no systematic racism. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Absolutely. I tell you what, go check out, people that don't know about it, go check out Robert Townsend when he did the Hollywood Shuffle.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. That movie was really made before its time.
It was. Have you seen Dave Chappelle?
846.
Have you seen
it? I didn't even say that.
Dude. You know,
I haven't seen it yet. Please,
it's worth the watch.
Yeah.
That man is the someone said Morgan Freeman. I don't think Morgan Freeman can't. Daddy's Just Barbecue in the chat said Morgan Freeman. I don't think Morgan Freeman's got an Academy Award.
Get the chains on the door.
I don't think he but yeah, man. I think Dave Chappelle. In my opinion, Dave Chappelle is equivalent, and I'm not trying to downplay Dave Chappelle, but I'm trying to elevate, rest in peace, George Carlin. If you have not listened to George Carlin, old white dude, he played Rufus in the freaking that movie with Bill and Ted. He played Rufus. George Carlin, he went to Congress, I think it was Congress or the Senate, and he spoke, and he just blasted them out. You guys Google George Carlin and just listen to his comedy. That man is funny, insightful, and wise at the same time. And I attribute those same attributes to Dave Chappelle. Eddie Murphy was funny as hell. Richard Pryor was vulgar and funny as hell. Red Fox is funny as hell. But Dave Chappelle is wise. And I appreciate that, man. Anyway. We're going to close out, man. We're going to wrap up. What do you guys want to talk about? Shit, man, nothing.
What do we got to close for, man? We having a good time.
I can podcast till my ass can't cast.
But, Eddie Murphy and today I was hanging out with a couple of friends, and we got into a whole conversation about that, you know, talking about the difference in the eras and things that we thought were funny. And they were. And now you have, like, say, again, we talked about Gone with the Wind and how they're talking about, they're going to take this movie and they're going to re-edit it and make it more PC and this, that, and the other. And it's like, okay, I understand that you have these, you know, stereotypical, you know, whatever's within that movie. But that movie was made, and it's one of those that's a timepiece.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, and we as a society have to be mature enough, you know, to understand that that's what that was. And not get so butthurt, you know, that we all lose our mind and go tear up stuff. No, leave it alone and understand what it was for when it was and do better.
Here's a problem I have with taking down the monument. I don't have a problem with taking down monuments. I don't. But what I have a problem with is people, their argument of you're taking away our history. No, you're not taking away history. All right. Those of you that are Christians, those of you that are Muslims reading the Quran or reading the Bible, if I burn down every fucking mosque and every fucking church in the United States of America right now, do you still have a Bible? Do you still have a mosque? You can still read. You can still learn. You can still understand. You can still be fulfilled that way. History is not a statue. The purpose of a statue is to elevate a person.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You with me?
They can be moved a block over. Yeah. I mean, create a museum.
Put them in a museum. Exactly.
They don't have to be destroyed. Nobody's saying destroy them.
No one's saying destroy them, but put them in a place that the people that want to appreciate them can go there.
Mm-hmm.
People that want to emulate them can go there. But especially in South Carolina, which is really steeped in racism, and they have streets and statues and blah, blah, blah. I'm in North Carolina. I'm not in South Carolina. But it's just rubbed in their face. Black guy, black guy, black guy, black guy. You know, it's just rubbed in your face. And people are getting to the point because of, once again, rest in peace, George Floyd. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. Enough is enough. Too much is too much. Did you hear about what country was it? It wasn't Nigeria. There was a country. You guys can Google it. You don't have to take my word for it. There was a country in Africa that were like, you know what? Bump it. We're opening our freaking borders. African Americans, black people in America, bring your ass back to Africa. You can Google this yourself. I forget the name of the country. New Guinea. I don't know. But they were like, just come back. I'm like, dude, wait, man. I'm a light-skinned black guy. I wouldn't know what to do with an antelope, to be honest with you. I mean, I'll smoke it now. I'm still Daddy Cooks. But, you know, it's a shame when you have people around the world, you name the countries. You guys are watching the news. Countries around the world that get it. Ghana. Thank you, Ron Jones. It was Ghana. But you got countries around the world. Dude, when you got freaking Korea, Japan, there are people like Black Rice Matter. That's so fucked up. I hope that wasn't racist. Anyway, but when but when you have people around the world supporting this cause, and our government is like, well, I don't think there's any systematic racism. There's just a few bad apples. Fuck out of here. Come on, man. Come on.
People on both sides.
Yeah. Dude, when you got people going to United States embassies in their country with Black Lives Matter signs, and there ain't no black lives there. There ain't no black people around.
Absolutely. You know? That's been the most interesting thing about seeing the protests this time and seeing all the white people that are involved in it. And I think part of it is, like you hit it on the head earlier, because we're in the middle of a pandemic, because the unemployment rate is so high, people don't have anywhere to go. They're able to sit home and see what's going on. And so, wait, what they're doing? What? No, that's not cool. We gotta go give our voice.
Yeah.
You know? And so I agree. Everything happens for a reason and everything happens in its own time, you know, and now we got, like I said, this pandemic is going on and people are more apt to see what's going on. And so now you got not only marching in the streets of Minnesota or Los Angeles or Atlanta, but you know what? They're over in Stockholm and they're over in Adelaide and they're all over the world. Yeah. You know, people are in there and it opens my eyes to that because I've never been to Australia or, you know, some of these other countries. And I don't know what type of racism, but apparently they have some of the same types of issues that we have.
Well, some of the countries are supporting just because they're like, well, you know, we have no black people, but what they're doing is wrong. Got that. But you got England. They have racial issues. Come on, man.
Oh, yeah.
Various countries. You know, Africa supporting the hell out of freaking the United States. And then what's killing me is it's a whole segue now. What's killing me is we have so much support from outside of America, but you have so much resistance inside America. You know what I'm saying? They're killing me. You're in America, and I understand their situations. You know, me personally, short story. I'm in Chicago, flew home, fresh off of Operation Just Cause. So now I done been shot at, shooting back. One guy got killed in the battalion, youngest kid in the freaking battalion got killed anyway. And now I'm in Chicago on leave. I'm driving, Class A uniform, on my way to church because my mother liked me to show up in church in a freaking uniform, right? So I'm on my way to church. The pastor's name was Lester Belgium. Matter of fact, he just passed away yesterday. Bishop now. He passed away yesterday. I wish I could go, but come on, man. Travel's crazy. Anyway, I used to play the drums for that church. Pentecostal church, you know, kind of an upbeat church, blah, blah, blah. So I used to play the drum. Hell, I had my butters whipped too, man. I was looking like Prince. Anyway. Anyway. I'm on my way to years later, I joined the military. So I'm clean cut. I'm in my uniform. I'm driving. I got an 89 Dodge Daytona, maroon, gray on the bottom, booming system. And I'm on my way to church. I stop. I'm on my way. And then, woo, cop pull me over. I pull over. And he walks up. I said, what's the problem? I rolled down and went up. What's the problem, officer? Oh, you know what? I got the wrong field. Oh, wait. What did you pull me over for? I'm like that at this point. You pull me over. Now, you inconveniencing me. Not that I'm all that in a bag of chips, because I still could have got a bullet, you know, a cat busting my ass. But I'm like, officer, what'd you pull me over for? Oh, well, your vehicle fit the description of a stolen vehicle. I'm like, what, a 89 Dodge Daytona? The description of the vehicle didn't change. But you walked up to my window and see me in Class A uniform, you know, 82nd Airborne. I'm wearing maroon beret. You know, I think I was a freaking E4. No, E5. So he walks up, he sees a uniform, and he's like, oh, I got the wrong. Well, what changed from the time that you thought you had, you know, what did you pull me over for? And I think, can't prove it, he saw a black guy on the south side of Chicago in a brand new fucking sports car.
Absolutely.
You know, oh, I got to check this out. Now, this is one thing that bothers me. And I've been posting a lot of this stuff on my freaking Facebook. The trend is, and I think the MO, method operandi, I really wanted to say that. Anyway, is we're going to pull somebody over, or we'll catch somebody walking. We think you got a warrant, or we think you're a bad guy. So now I'm going to snatch you up, throw you to the ground, handcuff you, get your ID, and then check to see if I'm right. That's bullshit. You know, I'm going to pull you over because I saw a black guy driving. Now I want your driver's license, registration, proof of insurance. Now I'm going to run your tags and see if I got someone that had a freaking warrant or someone that had, you know what I'm saying? That's bullshit. That's not the way it's supposed to work. If you pull me over and walk over, the first thing out of my mouth should be, what are you accusing me of? And he should say, you did this. Now I'm accused. Now I have to give you ID. Now I have to prove that I was either right, wrong, or indifferent. It's not pull a motherfucker over and let's check and see if he's a criminal. That's bullshit. Tell me that's not violating your freaking First Amendment rights.
But that's what happens.
That's what happens. But when you say that to people, what I hear all the time is, well, if you don't resist, if you just do what the police say, you'll be fine. Yeah. So if the police can come over and violate my freaking rights as a freaking citizen, I'm supposed to just take it and be fine? At what point is too much too much?
Yep.
You know, you don't have to identify yourself unless you're accused of a crime. There are some states, like I know what I'm talking about. There are some states that do require you to ID when the police ask you for it, but there are many states that don't. You don't have to ID unless you are being accused of a crime. So if a cop walks up and says, what are you doing here? Minding my fucking business. You got an ID? Yes, I do. Can I have it? No, you can't. Are you accusing me of a crime? No. Fuck out of here then. But that's not good enough. They'll hit you with this. But I need to know who you are for my safety. And I immediately want to say, you're carrying a gun, bitch. What's your freaking name and fucking badge number? You're carrying a gun for my safety. But then I get thumped up, shot, beat down, or shot in the fucking back. Come on, man. That ain't right. Yeah. Or to hit you with and I've been hit with this. Hey, can I have your driver's license registration? Hey, officer, what did you pull me over for? Just give me your driver's license registration. I'll talk to you in a second. Then they come back. You're clean. But I'm a black guy driving a brand new car. That ain't good enough. Now he's like, do I smell marijuana? I don't know, motherfucker. Do you smell marijuana? Now they want to search your car. But that's against your Fourth Amendment right. You can't search me unless I freaking give you approval. You know, you with me on this?
Oh, yeah.
They'll pull you over, and then they start searching for shit. He's a black guy. He's got to have something wrong. Yep. He's got to have something. I got to find something, because if you don't now, I'm going to go to court and say this dude treated me wrong if I don't get beat down or shot because you pulled me over on a guess and you guessed wrong. Come on, man. Come on, man. I'm sorry, Gene. I'm sorry, Gene. I'm trying not to cuss, Gene. Shit.
But, you know, and it's in playing into that, it's like we don't want to act like, oh, we don't want to, you know, look like we're stupid or we made a mistake. So now we're just going to get more aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, and then, it's like, that's not the way it needs to be.
And then, you know, when you get fed up, most of the time I'm like, what's the problem, officer? Blah, blah, blah. Driver's license registration. And it's a good freaking thing. But sometimes, you know, the top of your head get hot and you're like, this motherfucker, not today. Yeah. You know, sometimes you get fed up. And anybody listening, think to yourself, Have you had the same thing happen? Your boss, cousin, uncle, whatever, and they do the same thing over and over. Here's my example. A kid, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. But that finger, and after a while, you're like, you get your finger, I'm going to smack the shit out of you. That is the injustice. That's where black people are today.
Yep.
It's been 400 years of, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. But you're holding us back, and people are getting fucking tired of, I'm not touching you.
Yep.
Come on, man.
You know, and that goes back to what we were talking about earlier with the young lady, you know, talking about the monopoly.
Yeah.
You know, and you talk about, you know, Black Wall Street, you know, yeah. You know, and it's just one of those things where you want, you know, black people to go do their own thing. You know, you stay over there and do your own thing. Well, okay, then we build generational wealth. And then all of a sudden, oh, we don't want you to have that, so we're going to take it from you.
Yeah.
You know, and
you can't win.
You can't win.
You can't win. Yeah. All right. All black people go back to Africa. Okay, so you don't want us here. You want us all to go back to Africa. And who was it? I can't think of who it was. I think it was Muhammad Ali. Just give us our own state. We'll go to our own state and do our own thing, blah, blah, blah. But then you have another Tulsa. You have another. They used to call it the race war, but then they changed it to the massacre. All right. Black Wall Street. It used to be, even that was fucked up in history, man. Oh, it was the Black Wall Street race war. It wasn't a race war. They came and got decimated.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Because they were doing too good.
Absolutely.
Got from underneath the thumb, got from underneath the boot.
Absolutely. And a lot of people don't know that history.
Mm-hmm. They, you
know,
don't.
They don't know that story and don't understand why people were so upset when 45 decided he wanted to go do his rally on Juneteenth.
On Juneteenth in Tulsa. Come on, man.
Don't understand. Wait, what's the problem? I don't understand. And it's like, dude, you got to educate yourself.
You do. You know? And we're going to go one step further. The whole thing, back to 45, I'll say it, President Trump, the whole fucking thing when he was like, when the looting starts, the shooting starts.
Yep.
And I got so many people hitting me up on Facebook. Well, you know, that's true, man. You know, police show up, you're looting. I'm like, dude, that's not even what the fuck that was about.
Nope.
He can claim he didn't know. And those of you guys listening underneath the sound of my voice or looking at me right now, Google that in Florida. Google that Florida. Looting starts, shooting starts. You'll yep. see the racial freaking issue. And Trump is 70. What? He knew that. He knew that.
I don't know. Because he seems like he doesn't know a lot of stuff sometimes, you know?
Okay, now I'm going to do devil's advocate. In President Trump's defense, let's say he didn't know anything about the Juneteenth thing. Let's say he didn't know anything about the looting and shooting thing. Let's say that he was totally ignorant, really wanted to say that, really ignorant. Then that means there's someone behind the scenes pulling his strings.
Oh, yeah.
Setting shit up for him like that. So is that better or worse? It's Trump is doing it on purpose and lying, or Trump's a stupid ass and someone's behind the scenes setting him up to make him look fucked up. Come on, man. What's worse?
It might be some of both.
It could be. I'm sorry, Gene. I'm trying not to cuss shit.
You know, but you look at every administration. I don't care. You know, people think, oh, the president is this and the president is running that. The president ain't running jack. The president is the mouthpiece for what all the other people are actually doing.
But I'll say this. Any president, Barack Obama, Bush 1, Bush 2, Clinton, all of them, Trump, yep. any of them. They're going to campaign on what they want to do. They're going to make it sound good. Fantastic. Even Obama was talking about getting rid of Guantanamo Bay. But as soon as he got in office, the first thing Mitch McConnell was talking about, we're going to deny it. We're going to deny him a second term. I'm like, dude, he just got in. He didn't even fuck up yet. He had a shitty economy. You got me going now. He came in with a shitty economy. Bush, too, fucked it up. We had wars, the freaking, the whole Sally, what was it? I can't think of the name of the bank right now, but the economy was fucked up. Obama took over. 8 years later, we're on an incline. Now, what pissed me off on this is, and I do politics, I'm sorry, but Well, Barack Obama, the economy's not recovering fast enough. It's not recovering. Fox News, not recovering fast enough. They never at any time said it wasn't recovering. They were saying it's not recovering fast enough. So now we got a steady incline. Trump takes over and continues the steady incline. And now this is the best economy ever. Look what Trump did. He hadn't passed any laws. He did all he did was freaking executive orders. Nothing to that. On top of the biggest crowd ever, fucking what's his name was talking that shit. But this is how I judge a president. And maybe you guys concur or don't. I really want to say concur. Anyway, is how was the United States when they started? How was the United States when they ended? That's how I judge any president.
Yeah.
Any president. Did you do a good job? Freaking when Bush 1 took over, you know, there will be no new taxes. No new taxes. Remember that shit? Yeah. He just raised the old taxes, motherfucker. He just raised the old. Then you got Clinton. Oh, no, well, you know, we'll start with Reagan with the whole freaking war on drugs. No, it wasn't war on drugs. It was just saying no. Reaganomics, just say no. All right, so that started putting black people in jail. And then you got Bush 1. We get to Clinton. Clinton with the whole freaking war on drugs thing. No, I'm sorry. Clinton, man, the freaking Clinton administration was terrible. He did good stuff. You know, smoke weed, didn't inhale, played the saxophone like mom. But when it came to freaking putting black people in jail, man, that was floodgate right there.
Oh yeah.
All right. Look, just because you're a Democrat don't mean I love you. That just means you did some fucked up shit and you're a Democrat. Yeah. I'm an independent, by the way. Registered. Always have been. Registered independent. I voted for Daddy Bush. Hell, I voted for Reagan. All right. I was in the military at the time. And the Republicans were given the biggest fucking defense budgets, man. Who do you think I'm going to vote for? You're paying me, of course. All right, so now, years later, not in the military anymore. I got four daughters, much like yourself. You had Obama come in, and he's talking about the Ledbetter bill, equal pay for equal work for women. Well, fuck yeah. Come on. I got four daughters and a wife. They're talking about police reform. I don't want to get shot in the fucking back. I don't want Popo beat me down. Of course I'm going to vote for the guy. Come on. You with me?
Yeah.
And then I kind of got kicked in the balls, man. We had freaking Trump or Hillary. God. I got a piece of shit or a shiny turd. What do I pick?
Yeah.
What do I pick?
We painted ourselves in the corner there.
Oh, man. We got butt fucked on that one. I'm sorry.
So, well, you know, I always tell people, I'm like, look, if you really want to make change, you're not going to make change voting on the national level. You need to pay attention to your local races.
Exactly. Oh, you know what? You know? I got to give it to you. Hold on. Let me make sure I don't hit the wrong thing. All right. Here it is. Yeah. You are correct, sir.
Yeah. You got to pay attention to your local races. And one of the things that I teach my kids is that, you know, we take them in the booth with us and let them, you know, see how we vote and all of that. And so they can kind of understand it. And I tell people, I'm like, look, in my opinion, the most, you know, irresponsible thing you can do is go into a voting, you know, poll and just hit straight party line vote. You know, every vote's going to go for Democrat or every vote's going to go for Republican. I don't believe in that. And, you know, you're going to have some people are going to be better as a Republican on this and some people are going to be better as a Democrat on that. And maybe some people are independent and better. You get a mix of people and you can kind of stay, because I happen to believe that the majority of our country is more middle of the road than anything. You know, I don't believe that everybody is so far right or so far left.
Well, I'm a little different.
when you have these conversations with people, I'm like, for instance, I've had some people that, you know, I've worked with that are, you know, high up within different companies, and they're like, oh, I'll never vote for a Democrat. Oh, I'll never vote for a Republican. And one of the conversations I thought was so interesting was the last person that told me that they'll never vote for a Democrat. I said, well, okay, let me ask you a question. And I'm coming at this from a sense of having four daughters. You're going to tell me you will never vote for a Democrat. So let's talk Roy Moore. Are you telling me if somebody like Roy Moore is doing the things he's doing, you're still going to vote for him simply because his opposition is a Democrat?
That's fucked up.
He can go out and he could go out and touch booties on little girls all he wants to, and you're still going to vote for him just simply because he's a Republican? That's what's wrong with our country, dude.
That's wrong with our country.
The type of things that makes things wrong within our country.
This is what we need. Those of you listening, if you are a United States citizen, you need to be selfish as fuck.
Yeah.
Vote for the people that are going to give you the things that you want. At least promise you the shit. You know what I'm saying? Don't vote just because, oh, I can't vote for this guy. Like that young kid I was talking about earlier. Republican. Unfortunately, he had a car accident and he can't walk, but he's young. He's hopeful. I'll listen to him. You with me? I'm not anti anything, but I'm not pro everything. Come on, man. I have to listen to you, you know, and I'm not so far gone where I don't believe that someone can change their mind.
Yeah.
When Trump came into office, and I was like, fuck him. I ain't gonna lie. Okay. But when he came into office, after he won, and I wish you could go back and check my Facebook and all these other posts, I was like, you know what? And once again, Dave Chappelle, he coined it perfectly, Saturday Night Live.
Yes,
give the man a chance.
Yep.
And I was going on this. I was saying, listen. He can't screw up everything. Everybody hated Obama, though. The Republicans, Obama's going to destroy the world. We're going to Armageddon. Come on, man. You got advisors. Listen to people. No one man can destroy this freaking country. And I was like, give him a chance. He's a businessman and this and that and blah, blah, blah. Now, year one, he ain't faring too well. Year two. Yeah. And this is what irritated me about when I was rooting for the man. Even when the economy was going fucking great, he wouldn't even talk about it. Mm-mm. He would talk about some other stuff. You got Stormy Daniels pussy. You got all this other shit going. I'm sorry, G. Anyway, there are so many other things that he was distracted. The economy's doing great. Yeah, you got rid of some freaking Obama freaking executive orders. The economy's going to go to shit. I mean, not economy, the environment because of pollution, whatever. Didn't agree with all that. But when you got good stuff happening, at least talk about it. And he worried about other shit. Now, the United States is just like one of his other businesses. When he got it, it was in great condition. Now that we're fucking bankrupt, listen. Everybody's sick. Everybody's staying home. The stock markets done went to fucking crap. Come on, man.
Yeah.
And now you can't even talk about the economy, Mr. President. You can't even talk about the economy because you let that slip.
Well, we don't have to talk about the economy. We could talk about how the coronavirus is a thing of the past.
Yeah, it's gone already.
Yeah.
The numbers spike in Texas, Arizona. Numbers are spiking all over the place. But did you listen to freaking Vice President freaking Pence today?
I heard parts of it.
I watched all that shit, man. They talking about how countrywide things are getting smaller. But half the country, he didn't say this, but half the country's getting jacked up.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Now, whose fault is that? People get mad at me. Yeah, I don't know if y'all look at my Facebook. I go ham. But come on, man. You can't take credit for stuff when it's good and then it's China's fault when shit's bad. Yeah, Obama's fault when shit's bad. Oh, they depleted all the stockpiles of the all the supplies in the Obama administration. But you done been the president for 3 fucking years. Now, listen, I'm not a genius. But if I worked for you, let's say we had Dogfather Barbecue. Phil, yes, sir. You're responsible for making sure we got barbecue sauce. Yes, sir. I got that. And then you show up, you're like, hey, man, we ain't got no fucking sauce. I'm going to say, well, look, the dude that worked before me used it all. And you're going to say, motherfucker, you've been here for 3 years. You didn't buy any more?
Yeah.
Fuck out of here. You're fired. It's called election, people. Segue. Anyway, Come on, man. If I take over a job, no matter who had it before me, if it's fucked up when I show up there, it's my responsibility to fix it.
Yeah.
Because it's my job. Is that not common sense? Teacher, Gene, teacher. You get to a classroom, aren't you supposed to fix it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and as a leader, I mean, dude, when things don't go right, you have to step up to the plate and accept the responsibility. I don't care if I've got, you know, 30 guys under me that I'm directing to do whatever. You know, I've been in management positions and stuff before. Dude, if they don't get the job done, it's not their fault. It's my fault. I have to give you the tools to be successful.
Yes.
You know, and then I have to understand and see, I think this is again where leaders, quote unquote,
leaders,
management, you know, and all of this stuff, they have the wrong mentality because, oh, all these people work for me. No, you work for them.
You're the public servant.
Manager, dude, if you're a manager and you have, you know, however many people, you work for them because at the end of the day, they'll get rid of you before they get rid of their entire team.
Yes.
You give that team the tools that they need to be successful, everybody wins. That's the way it should be working. So when Obama's in office, you got this guy sitting off on the sidelines, yip-yapping, and oh, when this is going bad, this is his fault. After all, he's the president. He should accept responsibility. Fast forward. Okay, so XYZ just happened. Do you accept responsibility? No, I don't. That wasn't my fault. Come on, man. I'm not just saying it's just on the national level. It's all of these so-called
all
leaders.
Of them.
Mentality shift with all of these leaders that nobody is accepting responsibility to keep people safe, to do the common sense thing. And too many people are so busy. Again, you will chastise your children for acting like a little idiot, but yet you'll support and ride that shit to the ground when this supposed leader does the same damn thing.
Yes. Yes. Ronald Jones from the chat.
It's not that I'm sitting here slamming for, it's not about Trump. Yeah. It's about leaders, period. Period.
Yeah. Straight leadership.
You know, yeah, dude, if you're going to teach your kids to do X, Y, Z, then hold these people accountable. And if somebody comes out, because what I think is so hilarious is if, you know, if this person that you oppose says ABC, then you hold them to meaning that he meant ABC. Mm-hmm. But if your guy says X, Y, Z, well, he really meant ABC. I mean,
I'm glad you said that.
And blah, blah, blah.
Glad.
Like, no, dude, will y'all stop flip-flopping like fish?
Yeah.
And start being consistent, because that's all I want is all that negative energy or whatever that you had towards this person. Keep that same energy
exactly.
When this person that you're for does the same wrong thing.
Exactly. From the chat, Ronald Jones, he says, even in the military, if you assume the watch, everything that is messed up is on you. Now, I'm going to translate this. As a former United States Army Ranger instructor, United States Army Ranger School instructor, what's put into those guys, the most elite, well, the elite, not the most elite, everything that happens in your unit is your responsibility. You're responsible for everything that that unit does or fails to do. Yep. It doesn't matter if it's a squad, platoon, company, battalion. Everything that happens or fails to happen is your responsibility. How does that not translate into our politics? You know what I'm saying? You're responsible for people. If you're a representative, I'm stopping at Congress, the House of Representatives, and the Senate, not going up higher than that. If you're a representative and you're representing people, why is that not the standard? Everything that happens in my freaking state, anything that happens or fails to happen is my responsibility. They all deflect. Here's the thing that irritates me. If I was a congressman or a senator, that would be the easiest job in the world for me. And this is why. Congressman Riddick, what? How do you feel about abortion? Are you going to vote for it or against it? I'm going to find out what the majority of my constituents want. If the majority want it, I'm voting yes. If the majority, 51% is all I need, because I'm there representing the people. Congressman, Senator Riddick, there's a rule on the floor. There's a bill on the floor that says every Wednesday you got to get punched in the balls. Shit. How do you vote if 51 or more percent of my constituents want me punched in the balls every Wednesday? I'm going to have some blue fucking balls, man, because I got to vote for what the people want. If 51 or more percent say my balls get a break, then I'm good. You with me? It's that simple. It irritates me every time I hear people like Mitch McConnell or freaking Mitt Romney, well, I had to vote my conscience. Now, I got Mitt Romney's a Mormon and Mitch McConnell's a fucking turtle. I got that. But my thing is, your conscience doesn't have shit to do with it. I don't care how you feel about a bill or a law. If your constituents want it, if the majority of your constituents say yes, you vote yes. I don't care if you don't like it. You're a representative. You know, is that lost on people? You're representing the people of your state. If the most people wants the shit that you don't want, you still got to vote for the shit you don't want, because that's what the people you're representing want. Is that crazy? Is that a crazy concept?
It's a crazy concept in the sense that it makes too much sense.
It makes too much sense. You know? But that's their job. It's not personal.
It goes back to what we touched on earlier, and it's more of people in those positions are too busy trying to tell others what to do.
There's some money in there some type of way. I don't understand the whole lobbyist thing. I listen to the politics thing, but I don't know how it all works in the background, because if I can figure out how I can get in, shit, vote for me, motherfucker.
Every politician is guilty of quid pro quo. I don't want to hear this.
Yeah.
No. Every one of them, they do. Is it supposed to be that way? No, but that is the very fabric of our political system.
Yes.
Whether we want to accept it or not, that's exactly what it is. Because, again, think about this for a second. If you come up with a bill and you're trying to do something like United Healthcare or a stimulus package or whatever the hell it might be, why is it you got 15 million pages of all this other crap that has nothing to do with what the gist of what this is supposed to be? If you want me to vote for you and we're going to go get this, then I'm going to need $15 million to go save this Barton Creek salamander. And if I can save the salamander, then I'll give you what you want.
You and that salamander.
He gets that for the salamander, then I need money because I need to have gold toilets or whatever stupid crap it might be.
Here's the thing that kicks me in the balls. Okay. Sorry, Gene. I'm trying so hard. Anyway, is why can't you put something on the floor and just vote on it? Everybody, both sides, attach this shit, and then they attach that shit, and then they attach this shit. The bill gets so long. Yep. It gets bloated, Hey, we want to make sure people don't get punched in the eye. Republicans say that. We don't want people punched in the eye. Democrats are like, well, we don't want to get punched in the eye, but we got to throw in DACA too. Dude, DACA ain't got shit to do with punch in the eye. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or the Democrats were like, well, we want to make sure we keep the ACA, the Affordable Care Act. We don't want all of it to, pre-existing conditions. And then they'll be like, yeah, but the defense budget is pre-existing. Come on, man. They ain't got shit to do with fucking.
Right.
And then so the bills get so bloated. Listen, folks, if those of you that aren't aware, the bills get so bloated. So they'll throw in some shit and they do it on purpose. This is a good thing. This thing happens is a good thing. But then way down here, they're throwing something that's so fucking terrible.
Absolutely.
Now they can't vote on the good thing because they're trying to prevent the bad thing. And that's what's going on right now in Congress about the whole freaking not restructuring the police, and we'll talk about defunding here in a second, since we ain't wrapped up shit anyway. But you know, when you have a committee or a group or an individual senator or congressman or a representative that comes up with something that's earnestly great, but then they add so much stuff where you, it's not doubt. It's like, well, I want this,
but
you added this. That's what's going on right now. The Democrats freaking did not vote for, they oppose the, let me back up. The Democrats put up a freaking bill in reference to police reform and did it, no chokeholds and this, that, and other. That went from the House to the Senate, and they rewrote it, and they watered it down to, well, there's no chokeholds unless a cop feels like he needs one. What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
You know, you can't have choke. We agree, no chokeholds unless the cop feels his life's in danger. Well, then all you got to do is save my life. That law ain't worth a fuck no more. It's nothing.
That's right back to where we're at right now.
Because you're back to where you started. So the Democrats didn't fund it. They were like, no, we're not going to vote for that. And then what you see in the news on Fox, ding, 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 Democrats have freaking voted down a police reform bill.
Absolutely.
But it was a police reform bill that wasn't worth a fuck, but they didn't want to use the one that was good. Come on, man.
But that's not a good headline. It's easier to say that they're holding up, even when they were talking about doing the stimulus packages. The Democrats are holding this up. Oh, the Republicans are holding this up. But the thing is, look at all the other stuff that they attach to it that the common folks don't go out and do the research to understand why. It's too easy to have somebody come up with some meme or whatever it might be and put it on social media, and then so many people jump on it and then go share it without understanding what really was in there.
Hey, I do that. I do that sometimes. I'm sorry.
I remember, I think it was when I can't remember. I want to say it was when McCain and Obama were running against each other.
Right.
And I remember going to my office, and one of the ladies that I used to work with was saying, oh, well, I can't vote for Obama because he's going to kill all the old people. I'm like, wait, what? What do you mean he's going to kill all the old people? Oh, he's going to have a death squad. It's true. What do you mean he's going to have a death? Where did you hear that from?
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to kill all the old people. And, and she was an elderly, woman. I'm like, you need to do your research and stay off the internet, because people pass this stuff around and you don't understand what's really, being said. But this is ridiculous. Right.
There was this instance from McCain, rest in peace. He was one of the good ones. He was a Republican, but he was one of the good ones. He had decent. A heart.
He was decent.
He had a heart. He was decent. Didn't agree with everything he wanted, but damn sure couldn't fucking disagree with him on everything. That man had a heart. He was also a military man and a POW. Now tell me he didn't understand what it was like to be disenfranchised. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
When your Congress is full of millionaires, you can't relate to me.
No, sir.
I'll get back to that in a second. But what I liked about freaking John McCain, rest in peace, he was doing a campaign rally, and some lady got, I don't know how she got on the camera.
Oh, yeah.
And Obama's a Muslim. Whatever the fuck she was saying. He's like, oh, slow down, lady. That's not true. He corrected her on camera, on the spot, on stage at his own campaign rally.
Yep.
All right. Yep. I won't forget that. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Now, would Trump do that? That's all I'm saying.
No,
I'm not saying pro or anti Trump, but those of you listening, do you think Trump would do that? If someone said some shit about Joe Biden, oh, he's Sleepy Joe and he's got an aneurysm, and do you think Trump would correct him? Mm-hmm. I don't.
Because it benefits him.
Yeah. And you think about this for a second. When you start talking about government and this and that, I remember being in school as a kid, and they talked about all of the different, attributes of a president and this, that, and the other. And what we have or what we witness today is nothing. acting like what I was taught that it was supposed to be. And the fact that you have, again, if my child goes to school and makes fun of somebody with disabilities or calls somebody different names or this and that and the other, and it gets brought to my attention, I'm not accepting that from my child. Why in the hell would I accept that from a leader? Well, he is against abortion, and so I'm against abortion, and so I can, you know, that's not Christian-like. Wait, it's not Christian-like to do the name calling and all of this other stuff that's going on. So you're picking and choosing, and you're cherry picking what you're going to support and what you're not.
I'm gonna do what I always do. Let me tell you a story. I'm gonna tell you a story about people knowing people. All right, now voters and people listening, hear this story. I'm at work years back in the military. I think I was a staff sergeant at the time. I get a phone call. Hello, Mr. Riddick, Sergeant Riddick. You need to come to your daughter's school. There's a problem. What the what? I'm on my way. First sergeant, I got to go. What's going on? First, I got da 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 da. I'm out. So when I drive to Hope County where I live, I get to this free. I'm sorry. We were at Fort Benning. I'm confused on another story. We were at Fort Benning. I drive to the school, military school. And they say, Mr. Riddick, I'm sorry, Riddick, your daughter hit that girl. And she's going to be suspended. I was like, wait. That's out of my daughter's character. Remember that word, character. That's out of my daughter's character. Let me tell you what I think happened. Did my daughter come to you? She's like, well, now that I think about it, she came to you. She came to me, and I told her to go back to her seat. I said, did my daughter come to you a second time? She said, yes, she got out of her seat. Because that's what she's being accused of. She got out of her seat, and then she hit a young lady. Okay. I'm like, I'm going to tell you what happened. And this is because of what I teach my daughter. I said, if anyone's bothering you, you try to get assistance from an adult. You talk to your teacher. Find yourself an adult. So if my daughter got out of her seat to come to you, you told her to shut up, be quiet, or whatever, and send her back to her seat. She comes back to you again. She's seeking help, but you tell her to shut up, or I don't know what you said, but you sent her back to her seat. I guarantee you my daughter tried to come to you a third time, and you disregarded her, and then my daughter freaking punched that young lady in the throat. She's like, damn right that's what fucking happened. You know why? You know why I know that happened? Because I teach my daughter, if someone's bothering you, you try to get help and you do whatever you can, everything you can. But if she comes to you three times and you didn't do anything, she's going to defend herself. And I knew she punched her in the fucking throat because that's what I teach my daughter. I said, now, so we need to go and talk to the principal. My door opened behind me. This is live. You got to go. Thank you. This is the second time this happened during this podcast, but whatever. So we went and talked to the principal, the vice principal, and that teacher came in. And at that point, I was livid, and she didn't get a chance to speak. Vice principal, the reason we're here is because your freaking teacher disregarded my daughter. She's not getting suspended. And I explained the whole freaking story. Blah, 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 blah. That lady got reprimanded. Because, come on, man.
Yeah.
You can only get abused so much. But if you can't teach your kids, come on, what am I supposed to do? Yep. If you teach your kids to try to seek help and that help's not there, let's translate this to the social situation. If you can't get help, then you have to defend yourself. I ain't saying burn the place down, literally, riots and shit, but burn the place down, the system. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
And I hope that made sense.
Absolutely. Dude, trust me, man, I get it. I understand it. I don't, as I said before, I don't agree with a lot of the different things that people are doing out there in rioting and destroying and whatever they're doing, but I understand, you know.
Yes. They can understand. Like
the one that I don't understand, I will admit, I don't understand this one, is, you know, the thing in Atlanta. It happened at Wendy's. I don't understand burning down the Wendy's.
Hey, lady burned that Wendy's down.
Yeah, but that's what they say. Allegedly.
Allegedly. I'll listen. I'll answer that question in three words. In Sure. Rents. That's my guess.
You might be right. You never That's know. My guess. I didn't think of that angle, but you just might be right.
That's my guess.
Because I'll tell you what, that building is gone now.
It's gone. It'll be back. Yeah. It'll be back. Shoot, man. That's not a black people crime. We're going to transition. There's crimes, with the exception of the DC sniper. He fucked it up for everybody.
Yeah,
but there's some stuff that black people just don't do, man. All right? Freaking, yes, we will whoop your ass and take your money. All right? Yes, we will steal your car. But we ain't kidnapping shit. Unfortunately, the state that things are, you got a lot of freaking black folks that ain't taking care of their own kids. They ain't going to steal fucking yours. I'm sorry for that. But my thing is, there's some shit black folks just ain't going to do. When's the last time you seen, other than Africa? I'm sorry. But when you seen a stateside cannibal? You know, there's some shit we just
that's my people, that's yeah. Saying. Hey, Jeffrey Dahmer, that's all I'm saying. That's
but he wasn't a brother, man.
Yeah, exactly.
There's some shit we just ain't gonna do. What was that lady drove her kids into the freaking lake?
Yeah.
Oh, a black guy. Why you gotta be a black? You couldn't say Puerto Rican. Don't blame everything on the black guy, you know. Yeah. And this is gonna sound totally fucked up, but sorry for the here we go for you Middle Eastern folks. We want to thank you for the break. You know, after the whole terrorism thing, you guys did take the light off of us for a minute, so thank you for that. You was a new bad guys for a minute, and then the whole immigration Mexican thing, thank you, we got a breath of fresh air. That's so fucked up. Anyway, but now it's back. Okay, now it's back. And it never really left, man. I just don't understand how, just because you have a skin tone, you're the bad guy. And not in all cases. I know I'm going to get some terrible freaking comments and I give a shit less. But just because I got a dark skin, you know, I understand the good guys wear a white hat and the bad guy wears a black hat, and the good guy, you know, the Lone Ranger, he had a white hat and a white horse. He did have a black mask, though. You know, just white doesn't always mean good. Black doesn't always mean bad, all right? I smoke a lot of meat, and I use black charcoal, and that shit's good. Hey. I had to throw in some cooking for you there.
You know, hey, speaking of cooking, you know, might as well, the drink of choice today.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Whiskey. But I'm just doing doers. I'm sorry.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But yeah, for you guys out there that are into the cooking thing, I urge you to get on YouTube next week. We will be doing a collaboration that will hit on July 3rd, which is going to be, you know where I'm going with this, right?
No, I'm looking at Chef. Oh, let me stop you real quick. Chef Johnny says, I use white oak to cook. Good one, Chef Johnny.
But no, July 3rd, there will be a collaboration that will hit YouTube. I think you guys will find very interesting, and it's going to be called hashtag brisket challenge.
Oh, yeah.
So there's going to be quite a few channels. Chef Johnny in there, Texas Style Barbecue and Cuisine, is going to be taking part of that. It should be a lot of fun. So definitely make sure you guys get on there starting July 3rd. Search in there, hashtag brisket challenge, and I think you guys will be pretty entertained with what you see.
I'm going to throw this in, man, because I know Texas is going up against California.
Well, you know, it's not.
You Cali folks. You Cali folks, I'm sure you're going to do something, but you can't be challenging Texas using Texas grills and Texas wood and Texas techniques, man. Come on.
Technically, they're going to say that they didn't challenge us. We challenged them. And, you know, through conversation in different live streams or whatever. Yeah, they're probably right. But it wasn't meant as a competition thing. It's more of a collaboration. The more that we all get together as a YouTube community, and you know how this works, you know, we get together as a YouTube community and we come up with a different collaboration. It just gets more eyes on the entire platform. It helps all of us grow. Yes. You know, all of us, we all do. It's a brotherhood. You know, we may talk crap to each other, but it's just like a family, man. You got a brother or you have a sister that you might talk crap to. But at the end of the day, I can say this to you, but you better not.
You better not. That right.
We all family, man. And, we, you know, we just have a great time with this. And I think that, you know, the entries that you'll see probably, you know, starting July 3rd, I think it's going to be fun. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And you can probably see some fantastic creativity.
Yes, 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 yes. Hey, we're going to close this out soon, but I do want to say this. I wish the world was like our YouTube coach community. Absolutely. I mentioned Chef Johnny, Texas Style Barbecue and Cuisine, because we have some he doesn't agree with everything I say. I don't agree with everything he said. All right, Chef Johnny. We don't. But we don't crucify each other over it. You know, we got Kent, you know, even you. I have no idea what a interracial marriage is like. You know, I can understand what it is, but I can't be mad at you for it. I can just try to learn from it. You know, I have no idea how, you know, some aspects of life are. All I can do is ask about it. All I can do is talk about it or invite somebody to have a conversation. And I don't understand how that's such a problem to some people. You shouldn't have said that. Why? I like that what Gene said. Why? Why not? Why I can't say that? I can say what I want. If you have a problem with it, then articulate it, explain it to me, or ask me a question and give me a chance to answer, rebut, or tell you to kiss my ass. Whatever. But don't just shut down and say black is black, white is white. You know, this is this and that is that. No, there's no absolutes unless you make it that way.
Yep.
And I really, really enjoyed this, guys. Thank you so much for coming. I've learned a lot. Hopefully a lot of people have learned. We kind of went off the rails, but hell, this is an RBOP, man. We just talk about what we talk about.
Hey, man, I appreciate you for having us on. And again, man, I'm going to go ahead and put that up there so everybody can see that.
There it is.
You know what? Come check us out. The Dog Fathers Barbecue on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Dog Fathers Barbecue, DAWGFATHA'BBQ. Come check us out.
We will. Hey, make sure you send me that in a message so I can put that in the show notes. Once again, guys, absolutely. If you weren't here from the beginning, make sure that all of his contact information is in there so you could find him, watch him. He has a great channel on YouTube as far as barbecue. And he's articulate. Look, he starts out with, well, guys, we have a problem. We're going to do this. You sexy mother barbecue. Anyway. But, hey, guys, thank you for spending this almost 2 hours with us. And RBOP is going to be here. I don't know what my next episode is going to be about, but it's going to be coming up in about a week, guys. I love you like cooked food. I say that all the time. Thank you, Alton and Gene, for showing up with me. And we are out of here. You guys don't go away yet, but we are out of here in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Love you like cooked food.